Had the cred once, I want it again.
I'm getting over it on my last.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone, and with that gavel, I will convene the House Committee on Economic Development and Trade. Today is the 5th of February, the first day, the very first day of session, and of course, it's 11 o'clock a.m. We're starting at an unusual time today because it's an unusual morning, but normally we will be starting earlier in the day, and I'm going to talk about that at the conclusion of the meeting, but I wanted to go ahead and get things started now that we've got a quorum, because I believe we're all due back on the floor in an hour, and I want to make sure we get through our work session if there's any extended conversation. So that being said, the first item of business is to adopt the committee rules, and I'm going to ask Ms. Leone just to give us a quick review. As I understand it, the only thing that's changed from in the rules is the date. Is that correct?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
And those were posted to OLS. If anybody had any questions about them?
Correct.
So does anybody have any questions regarding committee rules? Vice Chair, might you have a motion?
Chair Gomberg, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules dated February 5th, 2018.
Well, thank you. Representative Marsh moves to adopt the proposed committee rules dated February 5th, 2018. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Rules are adopted. All right, the first item of business today is a hearing and possible work session on House Bill 4025. I will go ahead and open the hearing and possible work session. And again, Ms. Leone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4025 requires the Legislative Policy and Research Director to study methods for supporting the economic resilience in communities affected by emergencies or disasters declared by the governor. The measure requires a report to the Emergency Preparedness and Economic Development Committees of the Legislative Assembly by September 15, 2018. It also requires Oregon Business Development Department to assist the director if requested. Declares emergency effective on passage.
And I might add that this measure actually evolved from conversations that we had during information sessions during the interim. We have one person signed up, Mr. Lewis Berry. You want to come forward? And is there anybody else here that might want to speak on this proposal? All right, well, if you change your mind, we'll take that opportunity a little later in the morning. Welcome.
Good morning, thank you. For the record, my name is Jason Lewis Berry. I am Economic Policy Advisor and Director of Regional Solutions in the Governor's Office. Chair Gomberg, member of the committee, Vice Chair Brock Smith, Vice Chair Marsh, thanks for the opportunity to comment on this bill, which the Governor's Office is quite supportive of. I know I've spoken to the committee a couple times during the interim, so I won't rehash that, but I'll just hit a few points here related to this specific piece of the fire recovery. One is, as a reminder, this idea came out of the recovery councils. We had a recovery council for the Eagle Creek fire and for the Chetco Bar fire. Representative Brock Smith was, of course, the chair for the Chetco Bar Council. And those two councils were charged with helping the governor and state agencies understand what were the economic impacts of the fires, and they were also charged with making some recommendations about how the state might best support economic recovery. One of the key findings of both councils was that small businesses took a real hit from these fires. There was a massive interruption to their business due to the fire itself, due to the smoke, due to interstates being closed for weeks and weeks. And so we began to see, in having conversations on the ground through the regional solutions teams, which many of you would know about, the interagency state teams, had a lot of conversations with small businesses who were really struggling. There are, I know of at least one or two that have closed, that did not make it through the slow season, and others that have been struggling to figure out how they can get by. And so the question kind of at hand is there some other type of tool needed in the state's toolkit to provide loans to small businesses impacted by sudden external shocks such as a disaster? So our impression from a lot of conversations on the ground through the Business Oregon representatives, through the regional solutions coordinators, talking with other partners in local lenders, kind of regional economic development organizations, is that there probably is a gap, and yet we're not positive yet. So the intent of this bill, which we support, is that we need to do some more homework. So the the idea of giving this to LPRO really resonates with us. They're going to have a good timeline to really look at the data, talk to lenders at the local level, at the state level, think about the options from the SBA, the Federal Small Business Administration, which also has some loans available. They can also talk to small businesses, and I really assume that LPRO will do this. I would certainly encourage that they talk to small businesses and do so in some of these more rural areas outside of the Willamette Valley to get an idea of the types of challenges that they face. So the gap analysis that LPRO would do on the lending kind of options, as well as doing some research on best practices from other states. Oregon is not the only state that faces various types of external shocks. You can think about hurricanes, for example. And so there's got to be something we can learn from some other states that have been dealing with these types of challenges. So that combination, the gap analysis and the lessons learned from elsewhere, I think will inform a really useful study that would be due later this year. And the idea then would be that that study would give the legislature and those of us in the state government an opportunity to kind of see what does the data really say, what is the evidence, and is there truly a need to create a new type of, for lack of a better term, I'll call it a small business disaster assistance, a loan fund. And that type of fund would likely go into the suite of tools that are currently in Business Oregon, because they do not have currently a tool that does this type of thing. I would just make a couple other comments about how this study might be undertaken. The bill language already names Business Oregon as an entity to consult with LPRO in this research, and I certainly underscore that. They have a great finance team that does all sorts of types of loans, so I think they'll be a very good collaborator. They also have their field officers around the state, including those who were in these affected areas by these two fires in the Gorge and in the Southwest. But in addition to Business Oregon, which is, of course, written into the proposed bill, there are other entities. So I welcome LPRO to consult with other members of the regional solutions teams. That would be the governor's coordinators, the folks who report to me, as well as the different state agency representatives out there. And there's other economic actors. Small business development centers would be great to consult with. The regional economic development organizations, for example, in the Gorge, there's, of course, MCED, and each region has some version of that. And chambers of commerce, et cetera. You can picture who these folks would be. Lastly, I just wanted to put this bill in context of the overall efforts that are happening in session, the kind of moving pieces happening in this session related to fire recovery. So, of course, the recovery councils, each of them delivered a memo saying, here are some of the priorities, here are some of our recommendations, and here are some of our requests. And we've been able to address a number from each council already with existing resources. But in terms of new things, the governor has submitted a request for $500,000 to support the Local Economic Opportunity Fund. That is a fund in Business Oregon that would support economic planning related to resilience and diversifying economies. So that would help position communities like Brookings and Cascade Locks, et cetera, to recover from what happened last year. But it's also the kind of thing that other communities want to be proactive on and do some good planning now to figure out how their economy can be stronger and more resilient. There is a bill, House Bill 4152, Representative Helfrich and I believe Senator Thompson are co-sponsoring, which is to get some funds to the sheriff's offices of Multnomah and Hood River counties to support training and equipment related to the needs for search and rescue, because there are a lot of concerns about the enhanced risks now, given the fire damage. So this bill, then, is the other piece. There's basically three moving pieces right now in session related to fire recovery. So I'll stop there, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much. You made reference to a massive impact on small economies and small businesses. And my memory of your earlier testimony to us is that in some parts of the state that was a 60% decline in business during the summer season.
That's right. Yeah, and in some communities we got that data from our economists.
And, of course, 60% during the high season could be extended to represent as much as a 40% decline overall in annual sales.
Absolutely, Chair Gomber. You're right. These types of communities that are particularly dependent on a single sector, tourism, for example, during a peak period, a few months of a year, their overall economic health for the year really hinges on how they do in that peak period.
All right, so the measure is going to ask our legislative research office to come back with a report to us in September?
I believe that's correct.
All right, and so that's part of the reason for the emergency clause on it that Representative Post and I always raise questions about. Other questions from the committee? Please.
Jason, I want to thank you for all your work on this, and of course the members of the Economic Recovery Councils in both Hood River and Brookings. You're right, this is the third leg in the stool, if you will, of fire recovery. We know that unless some things are done, fires are going to continue and at more intensity. And so this is long overdue for being put into place. And so I appreciate the colleagues' support on this piece of legislation.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Lewis-Berry. Anybody else that wants to testify on this? All right, colleagues, we had scheduled this for a hearing and possible work session. Let me indicate for you that we've gotten word back, first of all, that there's no revenue impact on this measure, but also there's a minimal fiscal impact. And we've made a request, therefore, of the Speaker's office that the subsequent referral to Ways and Means be lifted and that this measure go straight to the floor and then over to the Senate rather than going into Ways and Means over the next five-week period. They are still reviewing that request. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and not hold a work session on this today, give them at least a few more days to make that decision, which provides us with the potential to move the measure forward a little more quickly. Any question on that process? Right, then I'm going to go ahead and close the work session or the hearing and work session with the understanding that that's going to be carried over. And Ms. Leone, what do things look like for us for the rest of the week?
Mr. Chair, we meet Wednesday morning at 8, and we have scheduled three public hearings and possible work sessions. The first bill will be the broadband bill that we've been discussing at the January legislative days. We also have two additional bills. House Bill 4052 establishes a Small Business Rules Advisory Committee, and House Bill 4121 requires Housing and Community Services Department to establish and administer a program around incentive payments on energy improvement projects. And we'll be hearing, those are again sort of public hearing and possible work sessions, depending on whether we have paperwork and whether there are amendments in those bills.
And I understand two of the three at least do have amendments that we're going to be hearing hopefully on Wednesday.
Correct.
And then on the rest of the week, are we meeting on Friday morning? I can't remember any.
We do not meet on Friday mornings. Okay. We are just a Monday, Wednesday committee,
right.
Mr. Chair.
So we will be then acting on those in final form on the following Monday.
Correct.
All right. Colleagues, for those of you that weren't able to join us right at the very beginning of the meeting, my intention and desire is going to be to try and get us started promptly in the coming days. I know that 8 a.m. sharp is difficult, but we've got a lot of business to transact in the next two meetings. We've got a lot of ground to cover to get these bills on their way if we want them moving at all. My then hope and desire is that once we get that initial workload on its way, that we can pull back the starting time to at least 8:30 and take a look at where we go from there. So that's my game plan. Any questions about that or the work we're going to be doing on Wednesday and potentially again on Monday?
If you can get him to actually show up at 8, that would be a big
monumental. Well, I recognize that each of us have different challenges. Some of us have a long drive in, some of us have a short drive in, and some of us have kids that need to get to school.
Mm-hmm. Some like to sleep in, play video games all morning.
Okay, you didn't have to hit
them.
Also, as a courtesy to those of you, I started promptly at 11 because we're heading to the floor, but as a courtesy to those of you that weren't here right at the very beginning, we did take a vote on adopting the rules. It's not a major policy issue that I think will reflect strongly on your legislative record one way or the other, but would anybody like to move to amend the rules to allow members that were not present to vote on the adoption of rules?
I will make that motion.
Thank you very much, Representative Post. Any objection to the motion? Who needs to vote? Maybe just we have a quick show of hands.
I vote aye. Aye. This is a public shame.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
You were not. You were not.
This is Haynes.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Or, colleagues, can I give you 45 minutes on this brisk first day to play a little catch-up?
That'd be nice.
All right. In that case, I will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you all so very much.
Yeah.
That is